I apologize.
Okay. Okay, we got it. All right. The Azurah continues by saying, even in those places where women do not have the custom of have the custom of avoiding touching or holding the Sefer Torah, their minhag is to attend the shul during the Yamim Noraim. Because please understand that these two things somehow went together, not going to shul and not touching the Sefer Torah. It was not something uniquely special for regarding touching the Sefer Torah. Given that these two ideas are mentioned together, not entering a shul and not touching the Sefer Torah, there's no question that Bisman Hazeh, all women are attending shul whenever they want. It's the custom of not attending shul when they're in Nidah is completely unheard of, practically speaking. If we are to assume that these two things are somehow dependent on each other, as they're brought together in the Azuruah and in the Ramah, that might spell the end of the observance of this custom. Practically speaking, though, it seems to be that women have come to attend Beit Knesset, even though they're nidot, but they are not. They don't touch the Sefer Torah. If anyone's listening to a recording of this, please be aware that there was crucial information that was not included in this recording, I'm just going to have to summarize at this point and say that in terms of the direct issue of women touching or holding the Sefer Torah, the Rambam says explicitly that it's permitted and mentions no suggestion to the contrary because ain't divrei Torah mekablin tuma. The Azurah mentions that there is a custom that some women have not to. He says it's not mi'ikra din, it's only a chumrah. And although he encourages it, he certainly holds it's not mi'ikra din. The Ramah quotes, apparently, this custom of the Azurah and says that the halakha is not that way, but that the custom has developed for many women to be careful not to, and leaves it at that. So we could have ended the shir over here and say that the mikra din is permitted, that there was a custom that it was forbidden. That custom was maintained, at least in the note of the Ramah, in Poland, in Ashkenaz. It's clear that part of that custom, which was to avoid synagogues, is gone. And one might have said that the custom of not touching the Sefer Torah could fall with it. Nevertheless, it would appear that there seems to be some stringency maintained regarding women not holding the Sefer Torah, at least in more recent generations than one might have assumed, considering that when nidot certainly go to shul these days. It's also clear that the custom was related to a woman being in nidah and not to a woman being a woman per se. Okay. And again, mikaradin is permitted. I would like to explain that I think that there are many other halachot, several at least, that were much more crucial in the development of this minhag than one might have thought. And to put it in that larger context and possibly appreciate the whole halacha over here from this larger context that I mentioned. The first thing that we have to understand is that really, no one is supposed to touch a Sefer Torah. When I say a Sefer Torah, what I mean is the cloth, the parchment of the Sefer Torah itself. This is regardless of a person being Tamei Tahar, of a person being a man or a woman. It's completely irrelevant. This halacha is mentioned in Masechet Shabbat Daf Yudalet, Amud Aleph, it should be, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch HaChaim Siman Kuf Mem Zayin. The Gemara refers to it in terms of punishment, that somebody who holds the Sefer Torah without any interference, just directly with his hand, will be buried naked. And the Gemara ends up saying that it doesn't really mean that literally. It means that such a person will not have the mitzvah that he was supposed to have had if involved in the Sefer Torah. In other words, a person is involved in Kriyas HaTorah, that's certainly a mitzvah. By his touching the Sefer Torah, he loses his reward for being involved in that mitzvah. A person does Hagbah or Geliva, and they touch the Sefer Torah, literally, they have lost their reward for performing that mitzvah. In other words, instead of it being a pure mitzvah, it becomes a mitzvah, and instead of it being a mitzvah in which the Sefer Torah was honored and treated appropriately, it has now become a mitzvah in which the Sefer Torah has been treated inappropriately. So no one is supposed to be touching the parchment of the Sefer Torah. So what do we do? Well, as you know, our Sefer Torah, both Ashkenazi and Sfaradi, are made in such a way so that it should be unnecessary as much as possible to touch them. Therefore, the Sfaradim have the case, and the Ashkenazim have the Atzei Chaim and the cover of the Sefer Torah to protect us from actually touching the parchment, the cloth of the Sefer Torah. The halacha stated in Shulchan Aruch is also lechol Sefer Torah aron v'lo mitachat. Even when the Ashkenazim have no difficulty really moving the cloth of the Sefer Torah via the Atzei Chaim, for anyone who knows how to do that. If it is necessary to touch the cloth directly, we do that indirectly nonetheless with a mitachat, with some sort of a handkerchief that would remove the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is not to be touched. Now, of course, this doesn't apply to a sofer who's writing or correcting the Sefer Torah, but if we're talking about someone who's using a Sefer Torah, someone who's learning from a Sefer Torah, someone who's doing Kriyas HaTorah, the Sefer Torah is never meant to be touched. Given that a Sefer Torah is not meant to be touched, everybody avoids dealing with Sefer Torah, men and, of course, women as well, simply because what are we trying to get into here? We're not supposed to be touching it, so we don't look to have physical contact with the Sefer Torah unnecessarily. And given that Kriyas HaTorah is done by the men of the Tzibur, those who are specifically involved, regardless of how large the Tzibur is, it will be a matter of two, three people who will actually be standing next to the Sefer Torah, the Baal Kore, the Oleh, and which in the original minhag there was only one such person. The Baal Kore and the Oleh was the same. And the Gabbai, who's helping things out, maybe there are two of them. There are very few people who are actually handling the Sefer Torah in any close way for whom this is an issue. But for them, they have to be especially careful not to touch the Sefer Torah. Everybody else has no reason to get near it. And it's sort of left as left at that, so that source number two, beyond the actual sources that relate to the whole issue that we've mentioned before, is that no one's supposed to be touching the Sefer Torah, and certainly not unnecessarily. And therefore, given the assumption, which is that the only real need to touch the Sefer Torah is for the sake of Kriyas HaTorah, and that women are not directly involved in the actual reading of the Torah during Kriyas HaTorah, it's inevitable that a custom will develop, but they're not going to be touching it because there's no reason for them to be touching it. And the men who are not involved in Kriyas HaTorah are also not going to be touching it. even the custom of of the Oled, the Meikar Adin, the Oled gets up, holds the handles of the Atzei Chaim or the case of the Sfaradin, and has the Baal Kori read. There is a custom to touch with something else the place where the Sefer Torah is being read from. Amongst Ashkenazim, it's commonly done with the tzitzis of the talis that the person is wearing, but you don't touch it directly with your finger. You only touch it via the tzitzis, and that's it. Those who are more careful don't even have that custom either. They just look at the place, and that's all, because there's no real reason to touch the Sefer Torah. So the context of women not touching the Sefer Torah is actually within context of men being, and all people being especially careful of not touching the Sefer Torah. That's an important point beyond the basic halacha number one. Halacha number two. The notion that the Sefer Torah is bandied about and is brought to wherever we feel we would like to bring it is also not Me'ikar HaDin. In fact, there are halachos in which the whole question of whether a Sefer Torah should be brought somewhere for Kriya Satorah is itself questioned, and frankly, there are many cases in which it's considered to be more important that the Sefer Torah be given its dignity of remaining where it is stored rather than carrying it around for our convenience in order to hold a Kriya Satorah wherever we feel like having it. The basis of this is the Yushalmi in the Sechus Yoma at the beginning of the seventh parak. The Mishnah there mentions that on Yom Kippur, there's a halacha that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be the Baal Kore in the Beis HaMikdash for Kriya Satorah, in effect, he is the only Oleh. He would read all the parashiyos in the Torah that have to do with Yom Kippur. And it mentions that the chazan there means the gabbai, of the shul, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash, brings in the Sefer Torah, gives it to a person called the Rosh HaKnesset, who then gives it to his Sagan, who then gives it to the Kohen Gadol, and then the Kohen Gadol reads it. So the implication is that rather than the Kohen Gadol going to the Sefer Torah to read it, the Sefer Torah is brought to him. The Yerushalmi immediately asks, everywhere we learn that we're supposed to go to the Sefer Torah, Hochin Acharat Torah. And here the halacha is a melechina tatorah etzlan, that they bring the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol. Shouldn't the Kohen Gadol be going to the Sefer Torah? Why is it that the Sefer Torah is being brought to the Kohen Gadol? And the Yerushalmi answers that because these people who are carrying the Sefer Torah, as you see, the Chazan gives it to the Rosh gives it to the Skan gives it to Skan, meaning primarily the Skan Kohen Gadol, and then the Skan gives it to the Kohen Gadol himself. It says, "Ayidei shem bnei adam gedolim, haTorah mitaleh bahen." This is not the assumption at first, but the conclusion is that because these are great people, which in context means that they have positions of importance within the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah is mitaleh bahen. The Torah is honored by their being, by their holding it and carrying it. This is not assumed to be the case for people by and large, and that that the honor of the Torah, on the contrary, is not to be carried around, is to remain exactly where it is, and to be there, and even when it's being read, to be taken out and read where it is, and not to be carried from one place to another. And that from one place to another means even within the Beis HaMikdash, it should not be carried from where it is stored to where the Kohen Gadol happens to be. It should be read ideally where it was stored, and that the only difference here is that the Kohen Gadol and those who carry it are people of such great significance that it is a cover for the Sefer Torah. The Gemara then asks that they are aware, Yerushalmi, Yes, so they're aware that in Babel, the Sefer Torah is also brought to the Resh Galusa, to the Exilarch. How could that be done? And the clear implication of the Yushalmi is that the Exilarch is not, the Resh Galusa is not such a mechubadik division as the positions of Rosh HaKnesset and Skan Kohen Gadol and Kohen Gadol. And Rav Yosef Ribon responds that because he is from the descendants of Malchus Beis David, we treat him as if he was one of his ancestors. In other words, we treat him as if he is a king, which is a position of greatness, even though the Resh Galusa is not actually a king. The religious significance of the position of the Resh Galusa deserves a shiur in its own right. But the point is that the Sefer Torah should not be brought from one place to another. It may be brought for people of outstanding position or importance, but that is the exception. The rule is that the Sefer Torah should remain where it is. The reason I'm saying this is because this also ends up being a preventive of people getting physically involved with the Sefer Torah. And this Yushalmi serves as the basis for a response we found in the Mordechai at the end of the first parak of Rosh Hashanah. The question is the following. There are people who are in jail. Now, my assumption is that these people who are in jail are in a Gentile jail, and let's hope that they were put there for reasons that were not appropriate. That may not be the case, I don't know. But there are apparently enough of them that they have a minion in jail that they want to read Kriyas HaTorah. And they've asked the Kehillah to bring them in Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah. This halacha appears in two places in Shulchan Aruch, by the way. This Mordechai is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah and in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. And the halacha is that even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a Sefer Torah should not be brought to jail in order for the people in jail, the Jewish people in jail, to hear Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Certainly not any other day of the year. An exception is made that that if there is an Adam Chashuv, if someone who is especially worthy of having the Sefer Torah brought in, that's an exception. It doesn't say exactly who that Adam Chashuv would be. But regardless, it's from here we learn the halacha, that you can't just bring a Sefer Torah with you to read wherever you happen to be. The Sefer Torah should be left where it's left. If a Sefer Torah is being transported from where it's written to a Beit Knesset, which is the proper housing of a Sefer Torah, or a Beit Midrash, or something like that, then of course you bring it. But other than that, the Sefer Torah is not like tzitzis or tefillin that you carry around with you and take wherever you want to go. The Sefer Torah has to remain in its place. The Sefer Torah is a makom. It is, if not actually, but in representation, a kind of a shnei luchot habrit. It has its aron. We use the same term for where we keep the Sefer Torah as the aron hakodesh in the Beis Hamikdash. And it's meant to be left there, except for Kriyas HaTorah, which should be done as near as possible to that place. And that's it. The Sefer Torah is not something that let's bring a Sefer Torah along, you know, for Chazara or something like that. And nor do we read the Sefer Torah, even if we're obligated to read the Sefer Torah as a tzibur, if for whatever reason we're going to have a Kriyas HaTorah, let's say the people want to daven mincha at some protest rally on a time of tzibur for mincha, and they want to bring a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed. The Sefer Torah has to be left in shul. We don't take Sefer Torah wherever we want to take it. And the issue of the Adam Chashuv is truly an exception, but it should be understood as an exception, and it's not done. The practical nafkamina bezman hazeh is for Avelos, when people are sitting Shiva and they want to have minyanim in their house, bringing a Sefer Torah to their house, which usually doesn't house a Sefer Torah, is an issue. It's not to be taken for granted. And the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch in the end of Siman Kuf Lamed He says if you prepare a Sefer Torah to be in a certain place for a day or two in advance, then you may read it in that place. And of course, our minhag today is that the Sefer Torah should have a makom kavua wherever it's put. In Tzahal, they don't bring Sefer Torah just to read. They have Sefer Torah in an Aron HaKodesh, and the Aron HaKodesh is brought to a place. Otherwise, the Kriyas HaTorah will not take place in a Basis in Tzahal. They don't just stam kacha move a Sefer Torah around to read wherever we want. The notion of the movement of the Sefer Torah is itself an issue. And therefore, these two halachos, the halacha that no one is supposed to be touching the Sefer Torah except the Sofer, even a Baal Korein, even an Ola is not to be touching the Sefer Torah, literally. And second of all, that the movement of the Sefer Torah is itself very limited, that we only move the Sefer Torah to its permanent place or to a place where it's going to be remaining for a significant period of time. All this is covered of the Sefer Torah, and that the Gemara even found it strange, the Yerushalmi even found it strange, that in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur that the Sefer Torah is brought to the Kohen Gadol, rather than having the Kohen Gadol brought to the Sefer Torah, until it's explained that not to the Kohen Gadol it is appropriate to bring it. So the context in which the halachos of anyone touching the Sefer Torah is one of avoidance and of reverence. And given the halachos of the Tzibur, which are that Kriyas HaTorah is done by men, which is the only real practical need for touching and moving a Sefer Torah, it inevitably becomes a custom that women are not going to be moving or reading from a Sefer or touching a Sefer Torah because they have no need to. There's no purpose in that. They're not going to be Baalei Kriya. They're not going to be Olot. And therefore, just like everyone else in the Tzibur, 99% of the men who are not reading the Torah, not getting an Aliyah in any given moment, even if they do, they don't touch the Sefer Torah, and they're not moving around the Sefer Torah, they don't, that's it. We do carry the Sefer Torah around for people to give a kiss from the outside. Within the context of the room, that's not a problem. But beyond that, there's no real need or to do such a thing. What I'm suggesting, of course, wouldn't disqualify the possibility of carrying the Sefer Torah to the women's section for the same kind of kiss that the Sefer Torah might be given to women as to men, that's it. The notion that wouldn't that should be done is simply the lack of need to touch or move the Sefer Torah itself serves as a reason not to. The only thing that's left to talk about is what goes on Simchas Torah. Now, here, I think the custom has developed in a different way than might have been originally intended, and I'll try to explain, we'll put it within that context. You all know that it's almost universal now that on Simchas Torah we take out all the Sefer Torah and we dance with them. the original minhag was clearly much more limited. The original minhag was to do hakafot. Hakafot means that the Sefer Torah were taken out. They were those who were holding the Sefer Torah would walk around the bima, very much like the hakafos with the lulav and esrog on Sukkot. The walking around the bima itself, even within the context of the tefillah of Hoshanos, was seen as a rikud. It was a kind of a dance. This is clear in the minhag that avelim, people in their year of after they've lost a parent, or in someone for a different relative for which they're having shloshim, do not participate in the akafos of lulav and esrog. When Ramah brings this minhag that they don't participate, the Gra quotes the pasuk because shenemar utznachtam lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim. The going around the bima is seen as an act of simcha, and this is inappropriate for a novel. Why the Yom Tov doesn't cancel this avelos is a separate question for this purpose, but in any case, that's what it's about. So the simple marching around of the Sifrei Torah around the bima was considered to be an act of rikud. And just as it is, that's the case by the Lulav and Esrog and Sukkos, that's also the case by the Sifrei Torah on Simchas Torah. And the if you look in the halachos of the Akafos of Simchas Torah, which is certainly a very late minhag, it's clear that comparisons are made between that and of the Lulav and Esrog being marched around. And the minhag even today, for many people, is that if they're in Avelos, they don't take the Hakafah. They don't participate in the Hakafos on Simchas Torah. And I'm not talking about the actual, the dancing that we do beyond that. Just even walking around with a Sefer Torah was considered to be a kind of a rikud, and that's what was done. It was known, for example, in the shul that I grew up, the only thing that was done with the Sefer Torah were hakafos. And my shul was quite typical, frankly. In other words, the Sefer Torah would be taken out, they would be marched around the bima 7 times by different people, and then they would be returned to the Aron HaKodesh, except for the Sefer Torah that would be used for Kriyas HaTorah right afterwards. There would be some dancing near the Aron HaKodesh that was not, by and large, done by most of the people. The event was the Hakafos themselves. I was at this year in Tzfat on Simchas Torah, and I saw in the Beit Knesset of the Abuav, where Rav Shmuel Eliyahu, the Rav of Tzfat, serves as Rav, when they do Hakafot, that's exactly that. There's no dancing. There is a Hakafah around. There's a lot of singing during this Hakafah. A lot of excitement, but the what's done is akafa. The minhag that is dancing with the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah beyond the limited hakafot is something new. I don't know exactly. I believe it began in the yeshivot. It may be important in its own right. It's certainly very exciting for many people, and especially that it takes such a long time. But it was not the original minhag. In general, the notion of the tzibur publicly being happy was done traditionally in a different way than it's done today. If you look at the Rambam describing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva at the end of Hilchot Lulav, in Perekhet Alecha Yudbet and Yudalad, the Rambam mentions, I'll just read it, Afa Pisha Koam O'adot Mitzvah L'smach Bahen, V'chag HaSukkot Hayta Sham B'Migdash Tzimcha Yitera, שנאמר, צנחתם בפני השם אלוקיכם שבעת ימים. וכיצד היו עושים? ערב יום טוב ראשון היו מתקנים במקדש מקום לנשים מלמעלה ולאנשים מלמטה, כדי שלא יתאבו אלו עם אלו. First of all, there was a place for women, and there was a place for men. In Halacha Yudalad, he says, ולא היו עושים אותה עמי הארץ כל מי שירצה. Not everyone would be involved in the public simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva and the activity of it. Ela gedolei chachmei Yisrael v'rashei ha'yeshivot v'asanhedrin v'chassidim v'askenim v'anshei maisa heim shehayu merakdin u'mesapkin u'metamchin u'menagnin u'mesamchin b'mikdash v'mei chag ha'sukos. In other words, the rikud during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva were done by the leadership of the tzibur and not by the masses. In other words, the people who were doing the activity of simcha were in effect shlichei tzibur. They were the ones who were singing and dancing. Everybody else, men and women alike, were meant to be spectators and participated through their seeing it. The Lashon of the end is, Avakolam ha'anashim ha'anashim kulam boim liros v'lishmoa. Their participation is by seeing and hearing what these the leadership was doing. This is certainly no longer the case in our celebration of Simchas Torah b'zman hazeh, regardless of how ancient or how recent our current custom is. But the minhag for hundreds, if not thousands of years, was not that way. The minhag was that it wasn't that everybody danced to the Sefer Torah. It's that hakafas were done, and if there's any dancing that took place, it was certainly done by the Yechidei Skula, who were considered to be especially representative of the tzibur in Dvarim Shebekedusha, and they were the ones who danced. It's within the context of everything that we just said that, practically speaking, women rarely had reason to take a Sefer Torah, certainly not to hold the Sefer Torah literally, and that's how these customs developed. It's not my intention, and I don't suggest that any of the minhagim developed at any of the campuses should change as a result of anything we're saying. But it should be understood that the deeply ingrained minhag amongst some religious people, that women avoid Sifrei Torah rather than take the opportunity to hold them and dance with them, is based on halachos of avoidance of everybody touching Sifrei Torah, of everybody not moving Sifrei Torah around at will, but with great care and only with great cause, and of the public celebration of Simcha within the context of Sifrei Torah being, again, for the bulk of time that we've had our kafos, representative and not done by everybody. This resulted in what in women who were not involved in the Kriyas HaTorah per se as not being personally involved in holding the Sefer Torah or dancing with the Sefer Torah. Again, there's no question that this is no longer the case in terms of what's done on Simchas Torah, that on the contrary, Ram says, Ami Aretz, we're not involved in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, everybody's involved in the holding and dancing of Sefer Torah b'zman hazeh, and one could well argue that there should be no distinction between men and women within the contemporary context. And if in those places where that's the custom, that's fine. But it should be understood that it's not chas shalom that women were meant to be separated in any way from the Torah in times of yore where they did not touch the Sefer Torah or carry them. No one, if possible, would touch or carry the Sefer Torah unnecessarily. And by and large, it was not necessary for women to be involved. But the Yikra Adin, certainly nothing wrong with a woman, per se, being any more or less involved with the Sefer Torah than men. And in terms of their status as a venida, if they are, that's also not a technical problem, because as the Rambam says, and the great Rambam kablin tuma. I hope this was helpful. If anyone has any questions, they can either call me or they can write me. I'll be happy to respond. Thank you for listening. Have a good night. Shalom.